Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Yeah, but this morning, I want to start with kind of our central scripture verse here as we go through this morning in Matthew chapter 5. All right, in verse 13, if you have your Bibles, you could turn there. If you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles available under the seats around, and you can use that and take it with you if you do not own a Bible. Like I said last week, holy stealing, it is blessed. Take it, that is for you. If you do not have a Bible, please do. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Notice Jesus doesn't merely say, tell them you are a light. You don't have to know a light is a light by it telling you. I mean, they can't really talk. This isn't Disney. But you don't have to know that the lights are lights by, like, somebody telling you that or by it somehow being able to talk. You know a light because it shines light. It lights your path. It lights the room. It illuminates everything. And he says to live in such a way that they see something, that they see the light. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, I'll quickly jump there. And by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And it goes on to explain how a good tree can't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bear good fruit, and all these different things, and it tells us this. And so when we look at this and understand what it's calling us and what it's telling us, is it's, in a way, it's giving a prescription to us, but really what it's doing is describing how you should be. It's not a full-fledged action, like, go make disciples of all nations. That's a prescription. Go do this. What it's doing is describing how you are to be, what you are to be like, a light on a hill, not to be lit and have a bowl put over it, but to be a light, and they shall know you by your fruit. They can see you in the way that you live. There's a lot of things that come out of this section of Scripture, but it is today what I would like to focus on is our life in the marketplace, our life out and about, because there is no excuse for us to be worldly. There's no excuse for us to be worldly in any way, shape, or form. I mean, even as a point of reference, your work ethic at your job or otherwise is spiritual. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Understanding that even in our daily tasks, at work or otherwise, it is a spiritual thing. There is very little, if nothing, in your life that is not connected to God and spiritual life. Everything you do, I mean, Scripture even says, whether you eat or drink, let it be to the glory of God, right? Even in that, even in the way that we fuel our body and what we drink, what we do, what we say, our work ethic is spiritual. These things that are a light to those around us. I mean, would people know you're a Christian if you didn't tell them? You never said a word, and you took away Sunday morning church. Take that out of the equation. You didn't attend Sunday. Would Monday through Saturday prove that you're a Christian? Would people see the gospel in your life? Would they see the light that is shining? Would they see the fruit that a good tree should bear? How we respond and how we look to other people. This last Wednesday, I preached a message to our youth group, and I called it People Skills 101. I won't say it was like 100% absolutely needed, but there was, we needed a little bit of that. But I talked about how Scripture says being set apart, anointed with the oil of joy, and how commonly accepted and normalized in this culture is a phrase. I'm not going to use the phrase for very obvious reasons. But the phrase that describes people when they're just sitting normal and their face is completely unapproachable. Some of you chuckle because you know the phrase, but I'm not, okay, you get it, okay. A face that when you're just sitting normal and you look mean, unapproachable, is that being anointed with the oil of joy? Or do people know and see? Now, I told them they don't have to sit there with a joker smile on all the time because then we get into creepy, which is not quite anointing oil of joy either. But the approachability factor, that people look at you and they see something different. They see the good fruit. They understand this and what that looks like. I just have a few stories to share with you from Brock in the marketplace. We could do a series. Film me going around. Introduction would be, check it out. Okay, sorry. For those that don't know, that was the introduction to my dad's TV show when he was in Canada. If you didn't know he had a TV show, he did. And the intro was him walking around in his long, curly mullet and check it out. Anyway, so we give him a hard time about that. And he would interview people on the street. And he was a youth pastor up there. He was actually the number one youth pastor in Canada. Even the school district gave him an award. Could you imagine a school district giving a pastor an award these days? Anyway, he had an award. He coached basketball teams, did very successful with that while also being a youth pastor and doing all this. And he would edit the show on VHS tape himself. Side note for you, little history, little church history going way back. Haha. Okay. Way back. Okay. For those that didn't get the first time. But Brock in the marketplace, I spent some time at Walmart. I'm there. You've probably seen me there a lot. I promise I'm not actually there as much. It just so happens that every time I'm there, I see people I know and I see the same people. But what am I going to do about it? But this last week I was there and I was wearing my backwards ball cap. It says Tyson's on it. And I was just walking around with my girls and my wife. And we were kind of, actually, we were going to look at the Nerf guns. I promise it was for youth ministry. All of a sudden around the corner, there's this young girl, like, I don't know, 13, 14, I don't know. She comes around the corner and she's like, I really like your hat. And I'm just like, me? And she's like, yeah. I was like, it's a Tyson's hat. Like, what? But I didn't say that, but I'm thinking like, okay. I was like, oh, thanks. And then she's like trying to hold in a laugh, turns and runs around the corner, and I see this other group of girls all giggling and laughing, and they run away. And I'm like, what in the world? And my wife's like, oh, she got dared to tell somebody something. And I was like, there is hope for this generation, man. I'm like, this. They must be grounded and their phones are taken away, and now they have to go to Walmart and cause trouble. I love it. That is the way it should. Well, I guess maybe not cause trouble, but that's the way it should be. Get out there, talk to somebody, mess around, have some fun. Good fun, not doing anything wrong. But it was hilarious to me. It was so funny. Well, the week before that, I was at Walmart, and again, what caught my eye as we were walking past the toy section. This is so weird. I keep going past the Nerf and toy section. You're going to think I'm a kid. But what caught my eye was these big Lego sets that are like Formula One, and I was going to see if they had one for Hamilton. Anyway, Lewis Hamilton. Not that I would get it because Legos are like $5,000, but I just wanted to see. And my wife came out of the aisle first because my daughters would obviously like to look. And she's like, I think that kid down there was like trying to steal something. And I was like, oh. So I'm like, even more reason to go in this aisle. I want to see what's going on. I'm the kind of person that sees cops flying. Oh, I wonder where they're going. I'm that guy, okay? My wife says this to me, and I'm like, okay. So I walk down the aisle, and he's holding a Spider-Man box, and he's not doing anything, though. So I'm like, no, whatever. So I'm like, it's time for the fake out. So I go out of the aisle, walk into the next aisle with my wife, wait a second, turn back around, come into the aisle. He's now facing away from me, and he's opening the box. And he doesn't know I'm there. Opens the box, gets this Spider-Man toy out, chucks the box onto the shelf, goes to put it in his pocket, turns and sees me. And I was like, yeah, man, just put it back. I said, yeah, dude. Like, he's a younger kid. I'm like, yeah, man, just put it back. I said, it's not worth it. It's not worth it, dude. Like, what are we doing? And he's like, well, no, I was just seeing what it did. And I'm like, no. I said, I saw you putting it in your pocket. Just put it back. I said, it's not worth it. There's a camera right there that you were facing. I'm telling him all this. This is like word for word. I'm like, there's a camera right there. They saw you. Bro, just put it back. I said, yeah, the new Spider-Man movie was dope. The hype is real. I get it, man. You want the thing, but it ain't worth it. So just put it back for me. And he goes and he hustles, puts it back in the box, and then he kind of just stands there. And I'm like, no. Like, you should clear out, man. Like, you should probably go. Because I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving until Spider-Man's secure. I saved Spider-Man. That's how cool I am. But I'm telling this kid, like, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Put it back. All right, now, yeah, clear on out. Clear on out, pal. And, like, 2 minutes later, I walk out of the aisle now once I saw he just kind of beelined it out of there. And I'm walking away, and then I see this, like, younger, little bit chubbier kid. And he's, like, dribbling one of those big bouncy balls, you know, that they get out of the big cage. And he's dribbling it. And I'm watching him, and he shoots it, and he makes it, and he goes walking away. And I'm like, Kobe. And then he just points at me and then just walked away. One of the most wholesome interactions. Again, the young generation, there's hope. We don't use any other word but Kobe when you make a shot like that. You say Kobe, and that's it, right? But I tell you these stories, okay, because it's Brock in the marketplace. And this isn't me being all high and mighty, you know. Trust me, if it would have been an older kid, I would have jujitsued him to the ground trying to steal something, because then it's an excuse to, no, I'm just kidding. But no, it's, hey, man, you're making a bad decision. I don't need to call anybody. I don't need to get anybody. Now, you might think that's wrong. I'm not encouraging you to let crimes go, because me and Naomi, months ago, witnessed a hit and run at the roundabout. Oh, you bet I followed him all the way to his house on the phone with the cops. I'm not letting you go when you're doing things like that. No shot, man. You're flying 70 past Matthews. Well, I'm going to pretend my lights are on and chase you down. Totally didn't speed to keep up with him. So I'm not saying let crime, you know, let it run rampant, whatever. No. But it was in the moment. This kid trying to get a toy and understanding, man, it's just not worth it. Being able to talk to him and share that with him. Tell him. not making a huge, big commotion. Call the cops. Get the broom lady came around the corner, and I'm like, she's not going to do anything. This Walmart employee, I think they're instructed not to intervene and just wait for cops or whatever. But I'm telling you, I'm just, what could have been done in this situation? What didn't need to be done in the situation? Some young girl getting dared to tell me my Tyson's hat is cool. Well, what are you messing around in Walmart for? What are you doing accosting a stranger? What are you doing coming up to me? Are you making fun of me? Are you doing some kid dribbling the ball outside of the cage? No, you're not supposed to do that. Put the ball back. You don't do that stuff. You're going to break something. I'm not his parent. I'm not paying for it, so let's be honest. But either way, I'm not, no. Good, wholesome. Hey, Kobe, like, you understand, one, life's not that serious. We complain and we get uptight about all sorts of little things, man. I've seen people call the cops over silly things. All sorts of nonsensical things and making a big deal. And, well, that person should be punished. And then they think they're the law and da-da-da-da-da. And being a righteous person means upholding this and da-da-da. There's a time and a place for that. Like I said, that hit and run, oh, I wasn't letting them go. But understand, when people are living life and they're doing things and things are going on, you as a Christian, how you handle that, how you conduct yourself, how you are in the public space, okay, you're a serious businessman. You're a serious businessman. You got all this stuff and all these different things, and you walk around like you're him. I got to be honest, you're embarrassing. I don't care what your net worth is and all these different things. If you can't understand God calling you to be fruitful and be joyful and to be generous and to be giving and to do these things and have grace for others and understanding what God called us to be, a light on a hill, there is nothing you will achieve in this life that exempts you from being the light on the hill. There is no accolades, no title, no level of respect where you don't get to be a light on a hill, anointed with the oil of joy, bearing the fruit that God calls us to bear. And guess what? Sometimes that is just having fun, interactions, joyful. I mean, oh my goodness. None of this is meant to be personal, but I've been out to eat with people where they get their drink, and there's ice in it, and they ask for no ice. Oh, I need to get the waiter. Come here. Excuse me, I ordered, what? We're making a big deal about ice? I've ordered food, and I've been out with people, and they get my order slightly wrong. They cooked it a little too much, or they did whatever, blah, blah, blah. Somebody tell me, well, you should tell them and get a different thing, and da-da-da. What do you mean, it's food? I'm good. Why do I got to cause trouble? Why do I got to do these things? And you might think, well, no, I'm entitled to the service that I requested. Yes, but again, like that kid in Walmart, I think there's a line. If I ordered something and it came out like raw and it's going to harm me, well, then maybe I might say something. But if it's like a little well done versus a little underdone, whatever it is, you understand when we look at, let me jump to it. Before you thinking I'm kind of making stuff up, okay? Before you think I'm making some stuff up, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. See that list at the very end. Let us not become conceited, provoking or envying each other. Those are the baits that cause things in our life that are counter to the fruits. When we envy one another, provoke one another, do those types of things, the actions that we will carry, the actions that we will do, the things that we will say are opposite what the fruits are. And there's one of the fruits that I want to talk about, and all of them are extremely important, but there's one that I don't want us to miss out on what it actually means. The one that is patience. See, patience, we know patience. You know it. You get tried all the time. You get tested all the time. Driving on the road, you get tested. Trying to get your toddlers ready for church, you get tested. Husbands waiting in the car for your wife to come out, you get tested. All right? No, just me? Okay. But all these different things, patience. But understand that the original text and what that can translate to and what that can mean and what that means translates better to long-suffering. That word patience, long-suffering, what that is being patient in the face of things that are suffering to you, like ice when you got no ice. A steak that's a little well done when you ordered it a little less done. Somebody stopping me in Walmart when I'm with my kids and telling me my hat is cool and they're just messing around. Now, I didn't have a problem with that because I'm a fun dude. I know what that's like. I encourage that behavior. Why not? That's a good old time. But understand, some of us would be accosted by this. Some of us would be, what is going on? I'm going about my business. Don't talk to me. Leave me alone. Do you know how much millions I'm worth? Who cares? I think you might be the only one. And I'm using the finances as a way to show the worldly accolades, but there's so many other worldly accolades to this. I've seen other pastors who carry the title of pastor and how they act and treat people. And I'm like, you are in the wrong profession. you might need to rethink that. But understanding these fruits of the Spirit that has called us to live by, love, joy, peace. Scripture tells us to be at peace with as many people as we can be. If we can be at peace with somebody, be at peace with them. I talked about this on Wednesday to the youth. I shared with them and told them how just because somebody doesn't like you, that's okay. But the reason they don't like you is important. And too often as Christians, we say, somebody doesn't like me? Well, that's because I'm a Christian. No, it's because you gossiped about them behind their back. That has nothing to do with your faith. You treated them meanly. You always complain. You're sarcastic and rude to them. That's why they don't like you. It has nothing to do with you believing God. Understanding in that kind of a situation, we're called to make peace with that person, to restore that relationship. But if we are standing firm in our faith and people don't like us because of that, just like if I read a scripture verse and somebody got mad at me for reading that scripture verse, their problem's with God, not with me. The same way you, if you're living in truth and standing up for what's right and doing it appropriately, I want you to know these people that you see starting these debates and arguments on the street over faith and all these different things, there's one thing to have a discussion with people, but the ones that are antagonistic and get ruffled feathers and start to be all pious and high and mighty, I want you to know something. They're not far from a Pharisee. They might have knowledge of God's word and they might claim to be Christians, but if you cannot live in peace with all that you can, and just because I use scripture in the argument and then it gets you triggered and mad, doesn't mean I'm doing what's right. To antagonize people is not right. That's not living at peace with all that you can. That's virtue signaling, because what you're really doing is using scripture to antagonize somebody so that they don't like you and you're persecuted for your faith and it makes you feel righteous. If these things come up and we have these discussions and you stand for what is right and somebody persecutes you because of that, that's genuine. But you don't go seeking that out. Long-suffering or patience, gentleness. When somebody makes a mistake, when somebody sins against you, when somebody causes a problem, the gentleness that is used. Trust me, a lot of you have sinned against God and you've begged and pleaded for Him to show you gentleness. Or you've prayed like David, could I just not have the repercussions of my actions? But I'm really sorry. I don't want the earthly repercussions for lying. I don't want the earthly repercussions for stealing. I don't want the earthly repercussions for this. Lord, can you please just make it so they forgot what went on and I just won't do it again? Faith and meekness, these fruits of the Spirit that we are called to live out. Self-control. This is how people will see us. And it goes on in Scripture to talk about how the way we live and what we do in our life, that they will see the attractiveness of God based on how we live it out. In Titus, it talks about this. Titus chapter 2. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. The way we live to make our Savior attractive in every situation. It tells us about slaves and masters. It's not sitting here condoning that we should still have slaves. It's speaking in the context of the time and the relationship we have with superiors, your boss at work, in some facets, the governing authorities over you. That's a tough one. But more people know about your conspiracy theories and how you feel about the government than they know you serve God. And if God's word tells us to submit to governing authorities, there is within reason and there are lines that can be crossed. And there are things we can do. But I want you to know something. The Constitution does not supersede God's word. I don't care they were Christians when they wrote it. God's word is above all other written things. And so we need to understand what it's calling us to do. And I'm not saying being critical and voting correctly and understanding our governing authorities and what corruption there may be and how these things need to be ousted. I don't disagree with a lot of that, and I don't think Scripture does either. But what it boils down to is, are you being a light for God's gospel? The true reason you're here on this earth is not to get people to agree with you politically, but to see them in heaven someday. And that is what we're called to. And every time we choose conspiracy theory, political things, our own selfishness and titles, each one of those things that we decide to promote, all of a sudden we begin piecing together a bowl that goes over the light. And pretty soon the light is snuffed out because we're so busy with our own business deal, our own thoughts on things, our own beliefs that are outside of God, our own personal preferences and civil liberties and things of that nature. We cannot get caught up in these things. We need to stick true to what God calls us to do. Because in this, we will make our Savior attractive to them. Attractive to them. See, the people around you should experience the fruit of God from you before they ever hear you explain your faith in God. They should just know it. I've had a great example of this in my boss, but also my father. And I've seen him in public spaces, and I've been with him in places where we meet random people, and he does not say, "Hi, I'm Pastor Randy. Hi, I'm Randy," and we hang out, and we, whether it's on the golf course or wherever it is, and then over time, they just come up, and I've seen this happen many times, I promise you, where they say, "There's just something different about you." What? "Well, you know, I believe in God. Jesus is my Savior." See, I knew there was something. I knew there was something. I've seen this happen so many times. See, the fruit was there before the explanation ever came. How we live our life and what fruit we bear is important. That we are not self-serving in the way we carry each other or carry ourselves around each other. I'll bring it to a closing shortly and understanding that there's a scripture verse that talks about fasting, right? When we fast, we are not to show it on our faces, right? I want to take that not just with fasting, but living a righteous life, doing a righteous action. Why do you have to look tired? Why do you have to look unapproachable? Oh, it's just so hard lately. It's just so miserable, complaining about this thing. Instead, when we're fasting or doing the righteous thing, we are to make that look attractive by living it out, having good fruit. And the way we conduct ourselves in this room and to other people, are we approachable? Are we approachable? I asked the youth on Wednesday before I shared a story with them. I said, how personal do you want me to get? And all it took was one student to say, oh, you can be personal. I was like, okay, deal. I said, I won't name names, but I'll tell you a story of what happened in this youth ministry not but a few months ago. And I think they immediately regretted asking it to be personal. I said, a new kid came, a couple new kids. We were having a fun night. And my wife went over to these new kids, and they said, oh, you should go ask those people that religiously attend our youth ministry, you should go ask them to, like, play with you, play cornhole or whatever it was. And they said, oh, I don't know, they look mean. What? That's how we're supposed to be, huh? That's what it's supposed to be when a new person walks in. That's how it's supposed to be when we have a fun time, corn roast next week, and understand you get in your little cliques and you sit by the people you always sit by, and there might be a new person there. You got extra food. They didn't know. They didn't bring something and all this different stuff, and they're afraid to approach you because you look mean. I'll tell you right now, that is not what this church will be known for. And in fact, this church is actually known for being quite hospitable. And I believe that. But that's when they come here and walk in the door. How are you on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, at work, at Walmart, in traffic? I've been in rush hour in Sparta. Oh, I've been on my motorcycle driving past Quick Trip and they don't bother looking and they pull out in front of me. Oh, yeah, there's things I would love to say to them. I might give them a little rev. Loud pipes save lives. Anyway, but how do we conduct ourselves outside of this church? You guys, it's one of the number one things. We have newcomers coming. We have the newcomer luncheon, and they sit there and they talk about how hospitable and friendly this church is. And that is an amazing thing. It truly is. That's incredible. That's the way it should be. But how are you outside of this place? Because how you are shows who you truly are. You can fake it for a few hours while you're here. You can fake it in the meeting with me or boss man. You could talk about how you're reading your Bible and how righteous you are. But, oh, I've seen the people out in public that don't see me and how they treated that Walmart employee. This isn't some shame and judgment thing. I'm telling you, as a wake-up call, we are called to be that way, not just here, but in the marketplace, in this world, to bear fruit. Don't fake it. Don't fake it. Be real. Be genuine. Love the Lord and love people. Stand up with me all over this room. I kept it pretty quiet today. If you were here last week, then you would understand. But this isn't some message that needs to be condemning, because he didn't come to condemn, and I'm not here to condemn you. Let the Holy Spirit bring conviction and guide you in all truth. and show you things, but the marketplace matters. How are you in the marketplace? The church in the street. It matters how you conduct yourself in your business. Nothing should change your fruit. Oh, well, there's a big lucrative money deal on the table. That means I got to be hard-nosed and play ball, and I got to get, and I got to... No, 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 no. It's not an excuse. It doesn't say except for money. Oh, well, they did something wrong to me, and they stopped me, and they did. They said this. I was with my family in Walmart, and they decided to play a joke. Calm down, my friend. How we act outside of this room. That's the real ministry. Boss Man has always told me that. Pulpit ministry as a pastor, it's important. But this really, to be honest, in my experience, means absolutely nothing if my Monday and Saturday is just for me and not connecting with people and being with people and being in people's lives and reaching out to people and doing those types of things, being in the marketplace. So let it be in your lives. Memorize those fruits of the Spirit and live by them.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.